You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. He's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for Manager of the Month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast from William Hill. A huge midweek as well as the Champions League and the Europa League returns. We've got plenty of teams in action this time around as well. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined on the line by football commentator and a man you'll have heard many a time on the Punt and on William Hill in Play Radio, Tom Kerwin. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well. On top of the world.
I'm very chipper. All smiles at the moment. The football season has started wonderfully.
Yes.
Unless you're Frank de Boer.
Of course, yeah. Breaking news today is that Frank de Boer is on his way and he's going to be replaced by Roy Hodgson, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know whether that'll be classed as a trade-up or not yet, but time will tell. But that's a contrasting going from one to the other, isn't it, as an appointment goes. I don't know what Palace fans are feeling right now, but I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's kind of like they tried the de Boer angle to try and change the way they played football. After four games, they've abandoned that and thought, we'll go back to a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, they just decided, you know, I mean, after four games, I didn't think they'd been that bad. I think it's just the fact they haven't scored a goal. They'd actually, the ball would actually have been better off losing some of those games 3-2 and 4-3, because at least the supporters would have said, look, you know, we've had a go. But right now, you know, you're four games into a project and you decide to make the change. Crazy.
Yeah, we're going to look at the Champions League football and the Europa League football in a moment or two. That's some news from the Premier League. Me being a Leeds fan, Tom, and you commentating on Leeds games, we can't possibly start this. I know it's a top-flight football podcast, but we can't possibly be on a podcast.
We're going to crowbar them in somehow, aren't we?
Yeah, and not talk about how good you must be feeling after the weekend.
Fantastic win, fantastic performance. And, you know, I think when you look at the Championship and you look at the clubs that I suppose many teams would want back in the Premier League, and I am taking my Leeds hat off, honestly, there. Most people would want to see Leeds back, so maybe it's the start of something good, but as we know, very early days this season.
Yeah, it's a nice way to crowbar in the fact that we've got a whole host of Football League action as well throughout the midweek, full programmes in the Championship, League One and League Two. We'll obviously have coverage of those on in-play radio as well throughout, but we're going to focus on the European action. We'll get straight stuck into Tuesday night's Champions League games. And the first match that we'll look at is Manchester United against Basel. Man United back in the Champions League. Mourinho's good record in the competition as well. They're 1-6 to win the game, Tom. They draw 6-1 and Basel are 16-1. It's would you say this is a nice introduction back to the top table for Manchester United?
I think it's probably perfect. I mean, I know some fans of other English football teams will, you know, not be the biggest fans of Basel, because they have produced a few results over the years, but not recently. And I think if Jose Mourinho could handpick an opening game, it would be at Old Trafford, and it would be against a team like Basel, who, you know, are just a team that don't travel well in this competition. You know, they've not won in the last 8 Champions League games. That Champions League pedigree that they once had is starting to fade. Obviously, every year they lose players, and they haven't started the season particularly well. You know, normally at this stage, 7 games into their season, they'd normally be 8-10 points clear, but they're not actually. They're trailing Young Boys in the table, and were actually defeated by Lausanne Sport at the weekend, a team that are down at the bottom of the table. So they're not coming into it in great form. A lot of their hopes rest on Van Wolfswinkel, who's returned to England. You know, Norwich fans will know all about him and will want to quickly forget him. So there isn't really a lot in this Basel side, but the focus on Manchester United. And I actually think Manchester United are, I think of all the English teams that are in the Champions League, I think they're the best bet to go the furthest. I do, because I think everything about them is kind of set up for this season. You know, defensively, I know they showed a weakness against Stoke, but generally pretty resolute. And at home, I think they'll be a real force to be reckoned with. And now, of course, they have that added firepower. There's a different dimension to Manchester United this year. And actually, with Manchester United, last season there were times when, if they were on TV or something, I didn't really want to watch them. And that's gone maybe sort of 3-4 years, starting with David Moyes. But now, you know, there's players that you want to watch and there's players that will entertain you. So, you know, Manchester United, you know, generally at home in a Champions League, although they've had that gap from it, and even last year in the Europa League, they produce routine wins. I know there'll be changes to the team. The centre-back pairing, for example, is going to change. And I wonder who might get a sniff up front here, whether, you know, go Lukaku and Pogba and Matic and Mata. I think he will. I think Jose Mourinho will want to get off to a good start. If this was the fourth or fifth group game and you're in a strong position, it might be a little bit different. But I think on this occasion, they will want to start off with a bang, and I think they'll do that with some of their big guns in it. But again, I don't think it'll be a cricket score or anything like that. I mean, people might get a bit carried away, you know, looking at Manchester United scoring threes and fours. And I know they start the season, you know, well, but Basel, although they're not a great side and I don't see them getting a result, they are streetwise at this level and got players with experience in the Champions League. So I'd go for a conservative Manchester United victory. So I'm going to play Manchester United and under 2.5 goals. Or if you want a correct score, I'd look at 2-0. I think that looks the most likely.
All right, so Manchester United to get the job done then, in relatively straightforward fashion without putting a cricket score on them. Man United to win in under 2.5 goals is 9-4 in the betting. I just want to highlight the home record that Manchester United have in the Champions League as well. Obviously, they weren't in the competition last year, but they haven't lost in their last 9 Champions League home games. They've won 7 of those and drawn 2. It's very unlikely we see that change come Tuesday night, isn't it?
No, I mean, I can't see it at all. And, you know, they did give teams sort of chance. I mean, teams have gone to Old Trafford and scored in recent seasons in the Champions League and even in the Europa League last year. But generally, they get the result. But they don't get those kind of big wins. You know, even against some of the teams that you would have classed as weaker opposition, generally Manchester United get over the line. But they don't do it, you know, in sort of threes and fours. And I think when you get to this stage, you know, the beginning of the Champions League, you know, anyone you're playing against, you know, there's something about all the teams that are in it. You know, there are teams that are going to be whipping boys in the groups, but generally, you know, there'll be teams that can make life hard. And Basel can do that, although they've not started the season well. That would be the concern, I think, for some looking at maybe a slender Manchester United winning, the fact that Basel have looked very vulnerable at the start of their league campaign.
Are there any goal scorers that stand out to you? I mean, Paul Pogba seems to be amongst the goals. Lukaku's had a great start to his career. Rashford scored in his last two. Any that you think stand out for Tuesday night?
Well, just to annoy you, I'd probably look at somebody away from those three, actually. And I think if Anthony Martial plays, you know, he's got an interesting season ahead for me. You know, I watch it and I look at Manchester United and I think of where their strength lies. And obviously, Lukaku, Pogba and Rashford, you quite rightly point out. But Martial might have to play somewhat of a supporting role this year. And he doesn't look particularly happy. And he hasn't looked happy for quite some time. I think he's the kind of player that maybe won't particularly enjoy Jose Mourinho's methods. But he's got to get his head down and get going this season. Now, I think he could be a useful, you know, player for Manchester United, particularly in this kind of competition, you know, with his pace, you know, and coming in off that touchline. I think it's his runs. You know, I think teams could be so focused on Lukaku that he could cause problems. And I think if he's given the nod, you know, he might be worth a look. He's 7-2 to open the scoring. He's 19-20 any time. And if you want as well to look for a bigger price goal scorer, I'd probably look at somebody like Chris Smalling, who is likely to play. And at Basel, particularly this season already, the goals they've conceded, they have been vulnerable from set pieces. So I always like a look when I see a team that have been conceding goals, and particularly in certain ways. And if it's a set piece, you know, I'd look for one of the big men from the back. And Smalling, even Matic, you know, might be worth a look.
Yeah, Smalling 11-1 in the betting there, and Matic 8-1 any time if you fancy a bit of a go on one of those. But the overriding opinion, Man United to win and under 2.5 goals then in that opening game that we look at. Let's move on to the game at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea taking on Karabag. Chelsea are 1-10 in the betting, the draw 8-1, and Karabag 33-1. It's the Premier League champions facing the Azerbaijani champions, and the first Azerbaijani side ever to reach the Champions League group stages. It's some daunting task to play Chelsea first up, though, isn't it?
Well, it's a huge challenge for Karabag, who, you know, they've never made this stage of the competition, as you say. But, you know, even to get to this stage, you know, when teams like them have had to play 3 qualifying games, in particular the big Copenhagen, which was, I think a result that sent a few shockwaves around Europe. That, because people who know anything about Karabag, and I must admit, they're not a team on the top of my sort of knowledge list, but they've had great continuity over sort of 9-10 years. You know, the coach has been there, you know, that long. You know, they've got some players that have been playing for the club for a long, long time. And then all they've really done in recent years is kind of, you know, eat their way forward. And, you know, they will be over the moon to be at this stage of the competition and playing on this stage, because, as I said, they've been building towards something like this. Obviously, they're not going to trouble anybody in the group. But I think if you dig deeper at Karabag, and obviously it's difficult really to compare the leagues. I mean, you'd look at their form and everything else domestically, and it's only the sort of start of their season as well. They're obviously winning games, and they've got a 100% record so far. That difficult comparison is hard to look at, but the one thing that they do have is a little bit of resilience within the team. They've got a great team spirit and a great attitude. And Chelsea are an interesting one for me. When you look at them and look at Conte, you know, comments coming out from him over the last few days talking about the Champions League. he's basically admitted I'm not very good in Europe. You know, he says I prefer the league. I do most of my sort of I've had most of my success in league football. And this is a guy who basically said at Juventus when he was there, you know, this group of players can't do anything in Europe. You know, I need reinforcements. And then he left. And then what happened, you know, what 12, 18 months later, that they had great success in the Champions League with pretty much the same set of players. So I don't know whether there's a mental block with Conte, who's a fantastic manager, maybe going into Europe. And I think I don't see Chelsea pulling up any trees in European competition because their squad's not strong enough. So if you're talking about the longer term sort of aim for them or how deep they can get into the competition, I can't see them getting very far. They should, of course, get out of the group and they should start with 3 points. And that is what I'd expect them to do. But maybe similar, really, to how I feel about the Manchester United game. You know, a Chelsea win, but not by, you know, a huge scoreline. People might be looking at this and, you know, and getting excited about the handicaps and looking at -2 or -3. I'm not so sure. I think Chelsea win this narrowly. I do. And I think that's the way they've been sort of playing for quite a bit of the season so far. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting approach. Carabag will go and defend. I tell you what I'm going to play. I'm going to play Carabag +2 on the handicap at 2-1. I think Chelsea will win. But I again, don't think it will be by a huge margin.
All right. So Carabag to stay in there against Chelsea then, I suppose. The market that you mentioned in the Man United game, similarly in this one, Chelsea winning under 2.5 goals. That's 11-5 in the betting, and the market summed up entirely by the fact that Chelsea win and over 2.5 goals is as short as 4-9. So people expecting, or the traders definitely expecting, Chelsea to win this at a hat canter, really.
Well, because there's so much firepower in that Chelsea team, and people are probably listening to what I'm saying there and thinking that is ridiculous. You know, there's a team making a Champions League debut. They're going at Stamford Bridge against that starting 11 because Conte will go strong because I don't think he can make 5 and 6 changes, and he wouldn't for this kind of game anyway. As I say, Champions League opening matches, you have to get off to a good start, particularly at home. This is the game they would you know, have banked for 3 points. But I just think teams, and we've seen a trend of it in the Champions League in recent years and in the Europa League, you know, these so-called minnow sides, they're astute. You know, that they are capable defensively of being resilient and frustrating teams. Ultimately, they will be overpowered. So, you know, I don't think for a second that they're going to be able to get a result. But I think they'll be better than people will think. And that's where I think if you're looking at the markets, you've got to, like, you know, look for that bit of value because they are being written off by our traders. They're being written off by everybody. So it's something pro Carabag just in terms of playing on the fact that I don't think Chelsea are still at their fluent best. I think they are, you know, getting results, but they're not doing it in great, great style. Morata is obviously, you know, he started his career brilliantly, but Hazard won't start in this game. He'll be on the bench, and don't be surprised if Conte has to use him at some point.
Yeah, Morata, one of the enhanced odds offers here as well. Him to score 2 or more was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Also, Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. That was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. But as Tom says, it doesn't look like Eden Hazard's going to start the game. So maybe give that one a little bit of a swerve. But Chelsea to win the game and get the first 3 points on the board. Let's move north of the border and head to Celtic Park, where Celtic will be facing Paris Saint-Germain. Celtic are 12-1 in the betting, 12-1 at home in a match that's quite extraordinary. Draw 9-2. PSG are 1-4, and they have shortened already throughout the day. That's they could be the real interesting angle in Europe, couldn't they, this year, PSG, because they've spent all of that money. They've brought in the likes of Neymar and Mbappe. I'm looking forward to seeing how they get on, but should they be as short as 1-4 away at Celtic?
I don't think many teams should be. I mean, you know, we as soon as you see Celtic at home on a Tuesday night in a Champions League game against, you know, a big team or a team with lots of stars in it, you automatically cast your mind back to some of the games they had under Martin O'Neill, and, you know, you can see Parkhead jumping and the atmosphere is incredible. You know, people will probably say to me that, you know, an atmosphere has never scored a goal. It's never actually won a match, but it's a huge factor when you look at Celtic, and there are other teams in Europe that have that on their side. But they need the kind of atmosphere they had maybe, you know, you look into last season, you know, against Manchester City where they drew that game 3-3, could easily have won the game. And they had that Man City team that night absolutely, you know, shaken. They were rattled. Now, I put PSG in a similar mode, similar sort of, you know, model to that Manchester City team in terms of loads of firepower going forward. Defensively, there is a little bit of vulnerability there that Celtic will need to exploit. They have to have Moussa Dembélé 100% fit here. You know, he's telling his manager, Brendan Rodgers, that he is. He has to be absolutely bang on for them to have a chance of getting anything from this one, because he's the one genuine superstar in that Celtic side, and somebody who's going to go on and play. You know, it's no secret he wants to go on and play for a bigger club, and it wouldn't be surprised if maybe PSG are one of those in a few years' time. But it's the firepower that PSG have, and obviously the traders have reacted to, you know, huge spends in the transfer market. But just the fact that from all angles, this PSG side, they are incredibly strong all over the park. And it was interesting seeing PSG and some of the goals from their weekend victory against Metz, where they won by 5-1, because you were looking at the front three of like Cavani, Mbappe and Neymar, and wondering how they're all going to sort of work together. And I was watching bits of the game, and there was a moment where a ball was played through to Mbappe, and him and Cavani made the exact same run, and Cavani kind of shoved him out of the way and said, "Hold on, kid, you know what I mean? This is my ball, you know, I'm the main man here." But, you know, it's the pace and the power that they play at. But I just think with Celtic at home, you have to think about that, you know, the atmosphere and the circumstances. So, you know, are they capable of getting a result? I think they are. I think what you've got to look for in this game is goals, and I think that's the way of playing it for me, Mark. I think there'll be absolutely loads of them. You're looking at Celtic, even last season they conceded 16 goals in their 6 group games. I don't think a huge amount is going to change. But Celtic also scored in 8 of their most recent 11 Champions League matches. So Celtic can score, but also they will concede, and they will not be able to hold out, you know, against the firepower of this PSG side. So, you know, I think you're looking at a fair few goals. They're over 3.5, for example, 11-10, over 4.5, even at 5-2. I won't put anybody off those bets. You know, people will look at PSG and over 2.5 goals, but, you know, it's 1-2. It might be too skinny for some. So I'm just going to play for a bagload of goals, because that's how Celtic play. And I think the atmosphere has an effect on the home side as well in this one, Mark. You know, Celtic, you know, are willed on so much by the crowd. They're almost expected to play in a certain way, and it is with a little bit of abandonment, as we saw last year with some of their matches. So, you know, they could end up be on the end of an absolute hiding, but they could be right in it, and we could end up with a, you know, a 6-3-all draw again.
Yeah, over 4.5, by the way, is 5-2. I think you mentioned that in there. I could see a hatful of goals here as well. If you just look at PSG on their own last season, they scored 18 goals in the competition before being knocked out at the Nou Camp by Barcelona, and since then they've got Mbappe and Neymar, and arguably, possibly the best front three in the competition now, in the shape of Neymar, Mbappe and Cavani. They could score, well, they could almost score over 4.5 on their own if they turn up.
Absolutely, you know, and you look at some of the team goal prices here. I'm looking at them, you know, PSG over 2.5 goals, 17-20, but over 3.5 is 9-4. You know, they hit 5 at the weekend. They'll be extremely confident of doing that. And I think there's a real argument to say that, yeah, it probably is the best three in Europe. I think Real Madrid supporters might have something to say about it, and you know, supporters of a few other clubs, but it's certainly deadly. It's how that kind of transfers into sort of Champions League form when they get to sort of the, you know, this is what it's all about for PSG, isn't it, this season? You know, there's a lot of focus on them to win the Champions League. Probably more pressure on PSG this year to perform in the Champions League, I would say, than probably anybody. I'd probably put Bayern Munich, you know, Barca and Real Madrid close to them, but you could probably argue there's more pressure on PSG than any other team this season. So it's how they react to it. But, you know, I think on this game they'll be expecting an absolute humdinger, and I'd be stunned if the game finishes with less than 4 goals in it.
Yep. One market that I will mention as well from the enhanced odds is one that I'm sure plenty of people will like the look of. Neymar and Mbappe both to score. That was 2-1, and we've pushed that out to 11-4, which you could see landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, I think I think it becomes pretty. I mean, it's a bit like the Barcelona situation, isn't it? If you're looking at PSG scoring loads of goals, you're really looking at three candidates. Obviously, they have quality, you know, throughout the squad, but you really are looking at those three. So I think that's a great enhancement there. You know, 11-4. Again, I'd be amazed if both of them aren't on the score sheet, and you could throw Cavani into the mix as well.
Let's move on to Wednesday night's action. We'll start with Feyenoord against Manchester City. Feyenoord are 7-1. The draw 7-2. Man City in the betting at 2-5. I'm going to start this one with a little bit of a left field question, I suppose, but in terms of the game, maybe not quite including that in this question, but Pep Guardiola has been at City for a year. He looked unhappy at large stages of the season last year. He kind of has to make a mark on Europe, doesn't he, this time around? And is his Man City side equipped to do that this time?
I don't know. I think it's much of a muchness, really, for them from last season. I mean, you know, generally, the Champions League form at home was brilliant. I mean, they ripped teams to pieces, didn't they? And, you know, beat Barcelona, beat Monaco in that amazing match as well. And you know, had some really good results. It was away from home where they really struggled, heavily beaten in Barcelona. You know, struggled in Mönchengladbach. You know, the Celtic game, you know, that we talked about, you know, that was a struggle for them. So I think with Manchester City, how I always look at them is at home, when things are going for them and it's all set up, that they're irresistible. And as Liverpool found out to their cost at the weekend, you know, when they're in the mood, they're severely in the mood. But to win the Champions League and to get to the semi-finals and the final, you have to have an incredible resilience going away from home, particularly when you get out of the group stages. And I just don't see Manchester City having it. I see them as a better team, Mark, but I still see the same fundamental flaws being there. You know, defensively, I still think if teams can have a go at them, I think there's a fragility there, particularly without Vincent Kompany. I mean, you know, his loss is absolutely massive. When he doesn't play, there's big, big problems for them. And they're going to be tested in this match. You know, Feyenoord, it's what, 15 years since they were last in the Champions League. They've started their league campaign absolutely wonderfully, scoring goals. They've got 9 in the last 2. They've won all 4 of their league matches, so they're sitting clear at the top of the table. So they're in absolutely great nick. And a bit like Celtic, you know, people who are listening to this that have probably travelled around Europe and gone to a few games over the years, you're talking about one of the best atmospheres in European football. And Feyenoord, you know, travelling over to Rotterdam, that would be one of them. You know, when it gets going, it's just they've been so long, you know, in the wilderness, really, from the top competition in Europe. So Manchester City are going to be up against it here. If you ask Pep Guardiola, would he happily take a draw? I think he would. Again, this is one where I think there's going to be loads of goals. I can't see anything other than loads of goals in this one. Man City away in the Champions League last year conceded absolutely bucket loads of them. You know, at home they scored loads. They've just scored 5 at the weekend. They're up against a team that have just scored 4 at the weekend and are going to be right up for it. And final will feel there's plenty of weaknesses in the Manchester City team to exploit. Likewise, obviously at the other end, there are problems that Feyenoord are going to have to contend with. So we're entering into a bit of the unknown with Feyenoord. Although they've been brilliant, you know, domestically, and they've earned their right to be in the Champions League, they're a little bit of an unknown quantity to see what they're going to be up against, you know, against a team like Man City, or certainly with the personnel they've got. I think Man City are very, very short, really short in this one, and I have no faith in them away from home against Feyenoord.
So would you side with just a goals market then, over 3.5 at 11-8, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think both teams will be getting on the score sheet here as well, because, you know, even in the game at the weekend, you know, it's the first 10 minutes of the game, but, you know, Liverpool still, you know, we're cutting through. And I know we're talking about Liverpool, you know, versus Feyenoord, really, in terms of a comparison, but, you know, that they were being cut through still. So, you know, both teams to score, I think will be worth the look, and over 2.5 goals. You know, if you do the both teams scoring over 2.5 goals, for example, but I don't know. It's maybe just me, Mark, that, you know, Man City away from home somewhere like Feyenoord, I just don't want my money riding on them at 2-5. You're looking at goal scorers. I think, you know, Jesus is the one, isn't he? You know, 10 goals in 14 appearances. I think he'll play. I think he'll probably start. And, you know, if there's goals in the game, you might want to look at him 2 or more at 3-1, because I think every time I watch him, he gets better and better.
Yeah, he does look very exciting, doesn't he? Him to score any time is 7-10. 2 or more is 3-1. You've got his strike partner there as well, Sergio Aguero, who's no stranger to goals. And Gabriel Jesus and Sergio Aguero both to score in the match. That was 19-10. That has been enhanced to 5-2, which is obviously similar to the PSG idea we were talking about a few moments ago. So rather than put a result on it, just back the goals and enjoy the entertainment.
I think so, but maybe it's just me, Mark. You know, because the traders don't agree with me in any way here. You know, when I look at the prices, but I'm yet to see anything from Manchester City even this season to suggest that they're going to be able to go away from home in the Champions League and really grind out those results. For example, I cannot see a 1-0 or a 2-0 for Manchester City. No way. You know, could they win the game? Of course they could, but they'll win it by conceding. That is for sure. So I think it's just goals again for me here. I don't think the draw would be... I don't think Pep Guardiola would look upon the draw as necessarily a negative, because, like I say, you know, this is 15 years in the waiting for Feyenoord. They are back in the big time in Europe, and they will not, you know, let this occasion sort of pass them by. They won't try and make the most of it.
Yeah, just imagine that atmosphere. Like you say, it's a good one in Feyenoord normally anyway. First time in 15 years they've been in Europe. It's going to be even more bouncing than you'd expect normally as well, isn't it?
It is, and that's the point. You know, the Man City team have, you know, they struggled at Celtic Park last year. You know, they got themselves out of a hole because of the firepower, and they might need that again in this one.
Mm. So you're not entirely convinced by Manchester City. I wouldn't be convinced in our next game, backing Tottenham Hotspur. They take on Borussia Dortmund, 7-5 for Spurs. The draw 23-10, and Dortmund are 19-10. We saw how much Tottenham struggled in Europe last year and at Wembley, and it doesn't seem to be rectified, the Wembley situation. They still don't seem to know how to get the results at their temporary stadium.
No, they don't, and I don't know particularly why that is. It's difficult really to put your finger on, isn't it? Because, you know, everyone keeps talking about it. You know, they're all everyone's pointing to this, you know, the problems that they've had there. They just can't seem to get it going. I think it's because they were so flat, you know, last season in Europe as well when they were playing the games there. And they were so disappointing. But, you know, they warmed up for this one with a great win at Everton. I must admit, Everton looked absolutely awful, you know, particularly defensively in that game. So maybe not a match that particularly tested Tottenham massively, but a decent warm-up against the Dortmund side, who it's difficult to know what they're going to be about this year. You know, they picked up 7 points so far in the Bundesliga after three games. They did draw with Freiburg on Saturday. They did have a goal disallowed, which probably shouldn't have been, and the referee should have allowed the play to continue. So they've not conceded a goal. So things are ominous, I think, for Tottenham when you throw in the Wembley factor, along with the fact you're playing against a Borussia Dortmund side who year in, year out have been in the Champions League, but generally struggle away from home. Two wins in the last seven away Champions League matches. They normally score, but they don't normally sort of get results. I think Tottenham could just be in for a frustrating night here. I think it just could be one of those where you know, Borussia Dortmund have enough in their locker, without doubt, to get a result and to get a draw. And I'm leaning towards that at 23-10. I can just see both teams canceling each other out, and I can see this Wembley factor getting to Pochettino in a way, because I admire him so much. I've got so much respect for him, but I think he'll be so wary of if they fall at this first hurdle, it sort of deflates the rest of their Champions League campaign. And you know, this Tottenham side, I'm a big fan of them, loads of admiration for what they've been doing, but they still haven't really achieved anything. You know, getting to the top four, people will say that's an achievement nowadays, but what I mean is really make a mark in a competition and actually win something. Are they going to win the Champions League? No. Are they going to win the Premier League? I don't think so either. So, you know, how they kind of go about things, they need to start generating some big nights at Wembley. And this could be a good one, because I suppose with some of the games that they had last year, maybe, you know, the opposition that they were playing in the Champions League, maybe that didn't really sort of get the crowd going either. I mean, you know, Monaco, Bayer Leverkusen, and CSKA, you know, maybe they weren't the kind of teams that really sort of got an atmosphere going, because what's happening at Tottenham is a lot of neutrals are coming, a lot of people in London who aren't necessarily Tottenham fans are coming along for the ride, aren't they? So, you know, maybe there's, you know, Borussia Dortmund with some of their stars, you know, maybe that'll sort of lift this game a little bit. But I think it's going to be a frustrating night. Dortmund are more than capable of getting a point, and I think they probably will.
Yeah, and I know these are probably arguably different sides to a couple of years ago, but there is previous between Spurs and Dortmund as well. They met in the Europa League back in 2015-2016 season, and Dortmund were comprehensively the better side. They won 5-1. It's not an easy task for Tottenham, particularly, as you mentioned, the Wembley thing. You're saying you're leaning towards the draw there. Could you see a Dortmund upset? I wouldn't even call it an upset.
I don't think it would be an upset. I really don't. But it's how much the Tottenham... So, you know, the game you just referenced there in Europa League is right. I mean, people would probably argue that Tottenham are better than they were then. They're stronger. And Borussia Dortmund are slightly weaker when you look at some of their personnel and some of the injuries that they've got at the moment. And, you know, I think Gerts is still out. So, you know, they've got a few issues. But yeah, can I see Dortmund winning? Yeah, of course I can. And actually, you know, looking at nearly 2-1 on Dortmund at the moment to win the game, 19-10, I think there'll be quite a few takers on that, because again, there'll be people listening and think, well, I can't shake off the fact that Tottenham, you know, at home, particularly on these European nights, they've just not got it going. Something is missing. Maybe it is that atmosphere. At White Hart Lane, it would genuinely be a different factor. And people say people are making too much of it, like ourselves. You know, we've mentioned Wembley about 7 or 8 times already, but it's clear, isn't it? And the evidence is there, and the matches, you know, the performances that Tottenham have put in have not been good enough. But have Tottenham got in their ranks the kind of personnel, you know, to cause major problems to Dortmund? Then of course they have. One area that they might be able to exploit is I think one of the Dortmund players at the weekend, Schmelzer, the fullback, got injured, and he's out for a fair amount of time. He's a key player for Dortmund, so there might be a little bit of joy down that sort of Tottenham right side. You know, if they can really work at that, I think there's one of the teenagers in the Dortmund system is going to play in the game against Spurs. So that might be a way in for them. But I wouldn't want to be backing against Dortmund against Tottenham at Wembley at the moment. So, you know, I wouldn't want to be with Spurs overwhelmingly in this game.
No, it's quite hard to call a result, but it's one of the easier games perhaps for people who like backing goal scorers. You've got Harry Kane, who's now scoring goals because it's no longer August. You've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who's been scoring goals for fun for the last few years. He actually got a hat-trick against Spurs a few years ago. Those are two easy picks, really, aren't they, if you're looking for something?
Yeah, they are, and you know, you might even want to look at the pair of them to score as well. I mean, that's 3-1, isn't it, on the enhanced odds. Kane and Aubameyang both to score in the game at 3-1 would not be a major surprise. I mean, for me, I always think, Mark, that Eriksen is always too big a price for me whenever I look at him. You know, he's 5-2 at the moment. I think he was scoring for Denmark, wasn't he, over the international break. And, you know, with his free kicks and his ability in and around the penalty area, it's amazing how often people kind of overlook him. And the same with Son last season. He was continually a really good price when he went on that scoring run, and he's 9-5. So, you know, if you're looking for a bit of value in that, in those Tottenham goalscorer markets, they would be the two. But it's a big, big night for Spurs, no question.
On to the seventh Champions League game that we look at. Got plenty of teams involved this year, of course. Liverpool against Sevilla. That's also on Wednesday night at 7:45. Liverpool 8-11 to win the match. The draw is 14-5, and Sevilla are 7-2. Liverpool back at Europe's top table. They qualify for the Champions League. Obviously, five-time winners in the past. We've all spoken. It's almost a cliche now about Anfield on European nights. Is it going to be a happy return to the Champions League for them?
I think it's going to be a tough one, particularly after the weekend's result against Manchester City. You know, you do wonder what kind of effect that's going to have. I mean, you know, I knew that game at the weekend was going to be high scoring. I didn't think it would be so one-sided in the goal scoring. And it's how Liverpool kind of react from that, because all of a sudden there's sort of big question marks being asked over Liverpool. You know, especially the way they collapsed, and defensively, of course, there are big issues. Now, of course, you know, this is a, you know, there'll be a bit of revenge in the air, I would suspect, from the Europa League final, of course. From a couple of years ago, from 2016, when the two teams met. And Sevilla are a team that have been obviously brilliant in the Europa League. They're the most successful team in that competition, but the Champions League form has, you know, has not been great. They've lost six of their most recent 11 away games in the competition. They've only won twice away from home in that run in the Champions League, and they rarely keep clean sheets either. That's been a big problem. Three clean sheets in the last 14 away games in the Champions League. They also been dealt a blow at the weekend because Nolito is out. He picked up a hamstring injury right at the end of their comprehensive victory against Eibar. So a little bit of a concern there for Sevilla, and how they kind of navigate their way through this group is going to be an interesting one for them, because, you know, they've got some big games coming up in La Liga over the next few weeks. But they've started the season pretty well. 7 points from their opening three matches. They're only a couple behind Barcelona, the league leaders. So they've started well. There's a lot of confidence there. You look at Liverpool, and you mentioned the cliche of them, you know, at Anfield on these nights. This is what it's all about for them. And generally, the Champions League form has been pretty good. But again, they don't keep clean sheets. I was looking down their run of Champions League games, and they've only kept clean sheets in four of the most recent 10. So, you know, with Sevilla in decent nick and scoring, and Liverpool having just conceded five at the weekend, and again, not shutting out too many times in the Champions League, I can only say it's the go-to bet for Liverpool, and has been for 12 months or so, will be Liverpool win and both teams to score at 21-10. I can't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet, but they should have too much firepower for Sevilla, who you know, are trying to sort of get stronger in the Champions League. They're a team that, you know, as I said, I think they've been disappointed with their efforts, and they feel maybe they're well placed, but I think the absence of Nolito, you know, diminishes their chances of actually winning the game. I don't think they'll win the game, because I think there'll be a good response from Liverpool.
Yeah, I quite like the look of that match result on both teams to score. Liverpool there at 21-10 as well. They've won their last six European games at Anfield as well. It's just a hard place for anybody to go on these big European nights. And as you mentioned, Sevilla, whilst they're very good in the Europa League, they just can't bridge that gap in recent seasons to the Champions League. So I get where you're coming from. Any other markets you like the look of before we move on from
this? Well, Mohamed Salah, he scored in two of the three home games this season, and I think his pace, you know, could be a real key in this game. You know, particularly with you know, how Sevilla will approach the game. Will they sit back? Will they try and defend deep and soak up the pressure? Because they are a decent counter-attacking side. It's one of the reasons they've done well in Europe generally, including the Europa League of late. So, you know, if that's how they kind of approach it, I think Liverpool will want to make the pitch as big as possible. If Liverpool get in the mood, like we have seen already this season, you know, if they're in the mood, then they could end up with a convincing win. But I never trust them to get a clean sheet. But, you know, Salah is 11-10 any time. He's 4-1 to open the scoring. He'd probably be my pick of the goal scorers. But, you know, again, it's a match that I can kind of see exploding into life. And, of course, Sadio Mane now, you know, with his suspension coming up in the Premier League, he's really got to make it count in the Champions League, because he's got these games, you know, coming up over the next few weeks where he's going to be able to play. So he's going to be a certain starter in all of these. And Mane to score in Liverpool to win is 2-1, which is not bad.
No, not bad at all. Let's move on to the Europa League action then. We'll go through the two English sides in action in chronological order. So we start at 6 p.m. as Everton make the trip to Atalanta. Atalanta, the home side, are 7-5. The draw is 21-10, and Everton are 21-10 as well. Everton needing to bounce back from that disappointing result at the weekend against Spurs. But Italy hasn't been a happy hunting ground for them in recent times. They've lost three times on their travels to Italian opponents. So probably not ideal for Everton this midweek fixture.
Not an easy game here, because Atalanta are one of the overachievers, of course. You know, last season they finished fourth in Serie A, and you're looking at a team, you know, in Bergamo, northern Italy, where the crowd is around sort of 13,000-14,000. I saw quite a bit of their game at the weekend, actually, Atalanta's victory against Sassuolo. If the rain is as bad as it was at the weekend, if Everton fans are going over there, take your brollies, because both ends of the stadium are uncovered as well in the stands. So, the brollies were out in force at the weekend at Atalanta, but they managed to get over the line and got their first win domestically of the season, Atalanta, but they had been handed two really tough opening fixtures. So don't read too much into the fact that Atalanta have 3 points from their opening three games. That's because they took on Roma and they had to go to Napoli. They were their opening two league games, so really tough. Atalanta won't, I don't think, this season, given the strengthening that Inter Milan, AC Milan have done, and other teams, are going to be able to match that fourth place finish. So for them, this is going to be a one to enjoy and a run to enjoy really in the Europa League. And they have some good players as well. Cornelius is the Danish striker up top. Cardiff fans will remember him because he played for them not too long ago in the Premier League, but did not pull up any trees. But he scored a good goal at the weekend, and they've got Gomez as well, their kind of playmaker. So there's some good players in the Atalanta team. And Everton, I mean, I thought they were so bad against Tottenham. I don't know what frame of mind they're going to be in going into this when they don't look a goal threat. I think the whole Rooney situation over the last week or so will have been a distraction for him more than anybody else. And I don't know. I think this is going to be a real tough match, because there's a good atmosphere created at Atalanta when they get going, and they had good home form last season. So this is going to be a tough old match for Everton. Everton 21-10, Atalanta your favourites at 7-5. I must have been watching Atalanta at the weekend. I wasn't blown away by their performance. It was one that they really struggled on the counter attack, and Sassuolo got that goal, from hitting them hard and hitting them quick. And I think Ronald Koeman will take note of that one. So I just think this is going to be a grind. The weather's not been great. The pitch looked heavy. And I think I'm going to take the draw here. I think Everton will batten down the hatches and think get a point away from home. And that might be good enough. I just didn't see too much from Everton to suggest they're going to be able to go to Atalanta and breeze their way into a result. And I think that's reflected in the prices.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way Everton have played in the Europa League so far as well, trying to keep it tight. They haven't conceded many goals, and they've won by the odd goal here and there, largely through the qualifying as well. So do you reckon Koeman just goes over there thinking, right, we'll try not to concede, we'll try and keep it tight. If we get a draw, then we'll carry on and we'll take that.
I think after you've just been bullied by Tottenham and conceded soft goals, and anyone who watched the game, or even if you watched the highlights on Match of the Day, Tottenham, if they'd have been even more clinical, they could have had five or six. So I think when you've been that generous in a match, the natural reaction in the next game is to close up, because your confidence has taken a little bit of a battering. So, I think they will try and shut up shop. And I think away from home, I think they've got to do that. It's just where the threat will be. I mean, they do have some pace in that Everton side, and the counter-attack I mentioned might be a way in for them. But they've really just got to deal with the threat, really. The skill of Gomez, who's a player who drifts out wide and cuts inside, they'll try and link him with Cornelius. As I said, they've got some strength, Atalanta, but set pieces as well will be key for them. But I think that is exactly how Everton will go for it. I think they'll try and shut up shop. And the draw under 2.5 goals interests me at 11-4, because I think Everton are capable of keeping a clean sheet there, and I'm not necessarily sure they're going to score. It covers you on a couple of score lines, doesn't it? So I think that would probably be my play at 11-4. I don't want to be backing Everton to win the game, even though they will be appealing, I think, to some, looking at, Everton away from home, in Europe, still got a lot of big names, but at 21-10, I'm not so sure.
Let's move on to the final game, and something that I've never said before on the punt, and nobody will have done, Arsenal in the Europa League. Arsenal are 1-3 in the market, the draw 19-5, and FC Köln are 9-1, or Cologne if you prefer. Arsenal dropping into the Europa League for the first time since they went to the 2000 final of what it was then, the UEFA Cup. I suppose overriding disappointment at the end of the last season for not making it into the Champions League, but if you look at Arsenal's squad on paper, they could win this, couldn't they?
They probably should do, shouldn't they? But it might be a situation for them and Arsene Wenger, a bit like the FA Cup. They've won the FA Cup a couple of times recently, and it's not been enough. Would the Europa League be enough? I mean, it was for Manchester United, of course, last season, because it earned them a Champions League spot. And that's probably why Arsenal will have to put a bit of focus on that one, because not many are tipping Arsenal to end up being back in the top four this season, unless they do turn things around somehow. They obviously don't want to be in the competition, but again, a bit like some of the other English sides, you know, this season, if they could have handpicked, you know, an opening match in the Europa League, I think this would have been it. I mean, Cologne have been, well, they've not started the season well. They've been well beaten in every single game. Even that opening match against Mönchengladbach, where they were beaten only by a goal to nil, they were lucky to escape with a 1-0 defeat. They've been beaten by Hamburg and Augsburg as well recently at the weekend by 3-0. So they're in it. They're struggling a little bit. In fact, they'd arranged a club friendly over the international break, I think, just to try and give themselves a little bit of a confidence boost, which they managed to get. But generally, they're a team that are struggling. And Arsenal, it is uncharted territory. But at home against a team like this, especially the way that Arsenal played against Bournemouth at the weekend, I thought they were really, really good. And there's no way that Cologne are any better than Bournemouth are. So this is going to be a very, very comfortable night for Arsenal, and one where they won't have to stretch themselves too much. It's an Arsenal win all day long here. You know, the enhanced odds, you know, Ozil to score and Arsenal to win at 2.20. It's the kind of game, isn't it, that Ozil turns up, Mark? It's the kind of one where you could see him scoring a worldie, and then you know, all the Mesut Ozil fans will point to it and say, look, there he is, he's world class, you see.
Yeah, it's one of those easy ride kind of games where he can look fancy on the ball and he's not really going to be under too much pressure.
They're still flat track bullies, Arsenal, and Cologne are easy pickings for them, and it's reflecting. You're looking at some of the goal scorer prices here, you know, depending on who plays, and he's been loath to kind of use Lacazette too much, which is surprising for me. But you know, Danny Welbeck at 19-20, I think he's been sharp. You know, when he has played, Ozil at 13-8 any time. You know, they're decent picks, but Arsenal will win this. And I think the minus two goals, I think that's pretty generous at 11-5, Mark. I really do, because, you know, say Cologne have been taking a battering at the start of the season, and Arsenal, you know, fresh off the back of a 3-0 win.
Yeah, played three, lost three in the Bundesliga, Cologne, and they've got a very poor record in England as well. They've yet to win in five away games in England, so everything points toward an Arsenal victory. I suppose it is one to check team news for as well, because if Lacazette does play, he's got a good record in the Europa League for Lyon last year. He scored six times for them in this competition, and he's also 2-2 at the Emirates in the Premier League. So given how easy this game should be, he could even go out there and score two or three, couldn't he?
I think he looks, I mean, every time I've watched him this season, maybe, you know, I've only really seen him play when Arsenal have done extremely well, and he didn't play at Anfield, did he? So you know, that was a real strange one. He looks really good. He's exactly the kind of player that Arsenal fans have been sort of crying out for. Well, not exactly, because, you know, they've wanted a defensive-minded midfielder and a Tony Adams type at the back. But he looks a player who's just hungry for goals, and he gets himself in a penalty area, and he'll fancy his chance. If he does start in this game, you know, you could be looking at him getting two and three goals. I mean, I really think it'll be that kind of match for Arsenal, because, you know, Cologne, the teams that they've played this season, they've not played anybody of Arsenal's quality. And as I said, this is the kind of match that the Arsenal players will be licking their lips and get the win. But, you know, even when Arsenal win these kind of games 3 and 4-0, it doesn't really change anybody's opinion about Arsenal, does it?
No, it doesn't, no. You can't win, can you?
They can't. They actually cannot win, Mark. You're right. That Arsenal might as well give up now, because whatever they do this season, they can't win.
Talked about a lot of games there, Tom. Do you have a particularly strong fancy in any of them? Anything that you think, yeah, that's my best bet of the week?
I think just a bagload of goals between Celtic and PSG. I can't see anything other than that. And I don't think you can fail either way. If Celtic turn up and it's one of those nights, you know, and you get another 3-all, a 2-all, you know, a 4-2, whatever it might be. But I just see this PSG side as looking to make a real statement at the start of the Champions League campaign. I know there are doubters out there about their credentials as being potential Champions League winners, and I'm not too sure whether I'd be picking them myself right now. But I just think that game's got all the makings of being a goal fest. And I'd be playing goals all over that one. In fact, quite a few goals in quite a few of these the Champions League matches involving the British teams this week.
It could be an entertaining week of Champions League football. Thank you very much, Tom. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Good luck with those picks, and enjoy the football this week.
Leeds are decent.
Acca 5 is William Hill's new Acca insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. Acca 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.